Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Skincare with Friends.
This week's Skincare with Friends podcast is about free from claims and dubious clean beauty selling tactics. In the European Union and in the UK, cosmetic products and ingredients are tightly regulated to ensure they're completely safe. But skincare brands and cosmetic brands muddy the waters by claiming to be clean and free from nasties. The problem we have with these free from claims is that it infers that other brands contain ingredients that are not safe, which just isn't fair. So how do we know who to believe and who to trust? Natalie and myself go through all the dodgy marketing to look out for, the recent controversies, and how to navigate all the information we're given. So if you enjoy our podcast, you can support us by leaving a nice review and subscribing. Hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends with me, Nia Patton, your lovely skincare person on the internet, and
Natalie. I feel like a fraud because we're talking about taking care of your skin, and I'm not sure if you can see in this bad light.
What's happened, Natalie?
The whole bottom half of my face, it's almost like I've drawn Jeremy Beadle's beard around my face with red pen, because it's just tretinoin burn, but it's like,
whoa, real. It does look red, actually, now you said it.
It is so red.
Oh my Lord.
These raised bits. Yeah.
She's got bumpy bits.
So
how did you manage that?
I'm on my second month of just 0.1% tretinoin with 4% niacinamide.
Oh, right.
So on the hydroquinone.
That's heavy stuff.
It's heavy stuff, yeah. But I've been using it like pretty much daily on my neck as well. My neck is really...
Ooh. Yeah. Ouchies.
Yeah. And I just ran out of the bottle, and it was about 10 days to wait till my second delivery. So I just had a 10-day break, and that's all it takes for your skin to go, oh, that's nice. It's not put tretinoin on me. And I put it on, and I don't usually go anywhere near the bottom half of my face. But, you know, when you just
really
slap it on, and I did. And I'm paying for it.
Oh, my Lord. Mm. I love you.
I know.
Got some nice calming stuff to bring it back down again. Have you got some modulating glucosides?
I've basically been free pouring NEOD's modulating glucosides onto my face like every other hour.
Free basing.
Yeah, free basing. And also... Beauty of Joseon's really lovely calming serum with propolis and something gorgeous, ginseng. And it's lovely. Cool. It's really, really nice. It's a nice, like, watery serum. It's lovely.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So how's your face?
Yeah, I get lots of vitamins. It's really nice. I'm really happy and smug.
your skin does look lovely. You do look a bit smug.
I am. I can't help it. Like, I've got my period at the moment, and, you know, I haven't had many periods in the last few years because of having a baby and then breastfeeding her for ages and ages. So I was a bit like, oh, Christ, here we go. And I haven't had any spots, which is normally the time where I get a big Craig, a big chin boil on my chin.
Yeah, I haven't seen Craig for ages.
Craig is gone. But yeah, I was getting quite a lot of spots. Up until I started using the Azelaic from Dermatica. So, and then it stopped. I started using that, no spots at all.
Wow.
Not a one. Yeah.
I really need to order that. I know I keep saying it, but I really need to order the azelaic acid because it's 20%.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It really is super lovely. Just smooths everything out and gets rid of acne.
Oh, lush.
It's supposed to be as good as hydroquinone for pigmentation. I don't know about that. I don't know.
Are you using anything for pigmentation at the moment?
Yeah, I'm back on hydroquinone now.
Okay. And you've got no issues with using hydroquinone and azelaic?
No, it's fine.
Cool.
It's totally fine. Yeah, really good. Yeah. We're all good.
I really, really miss hydroquinone. So I came off it in April. Oh, Christ. In the last 2 months. It's just there. It's like,
is it coming back?
It's back in full effect. It's in back. No, I wouldn't say full effect because I look at the 2018 pictures and it's not there, like by any standards the same. But yeah, it's patchy. It's really annoying. And I don't know what it is.
Bloody hell.
Nice weather last week. I must have been reapplying, wearing a baseball cap, wearing a mask, and I still got really brown on my face. I just don't get it.
Yes, yeah, same. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. My forehead is brown.
Yeah.
And like, I've been applying it so much that it's absolutely disgusting. You know, I've got like a really greasy, sort of dirty face from all the layers of sunscreen.
Yeah.
And I'm brown as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand
that. It's really, really odd.
It must be getting through. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And like Hayden was, we were out in Friend's garden and, you know, having a drink. And then the next day he was really red down one side of his face and all down his neck. I remember like slightly drunkenly just going up to him and my palm was like white with, I think it's like Tamugi's sunscreen and just doing this to like, you know, sweeping.
Smearing him.
His face, like every couple of hours, but it was really strong sunlight. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Considering where
we're just not used to it, really.
Yeah, this is true. So,
like on a sunny day in Wales, the UV index is still only like 2. It's not high.
Oh, that's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So, what are we doing today?
Yeah, what are we talking about? Free from. I love it.
Free from.
This is one of my favorite things to hear you rant.
It's complaining about nonsense.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So yeah, we're talking about the skincare's obsession with labeling things free from ingredients that really don't really have any business being in there in the first place. Just using fear tactics to make people buy stuff they potentially don't need, but also might not have any scientific basis.
No. I think it's the thing that they're trying to make their skincare sound cleaner than other brands. So as if like the consumer will pick the one that's free from the most things without really understanding what those things are.
Yep.
And just assuming that they're bad. So I'll get if I'm trying to put things on my skin that are more natural and clean, so I'll get the one that's free from all of these things because there's lots in that list.
Yeah.
And sort of abusing their naivety by plastering these claims all over their products and marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's naughty.
It is naughty. And very misleading. So I'm kind of guilty of doing it in all aspects of our lives, though. I'm just thinking about like consuming food. Like my mum's obsession with buying gluten-free pasta when she's trying to lose weight.
Oh, that's cute. That doesn't mean
it's really cute.
What?
Totally.
Well, like gluten's a protein, so it's better to have more protein in your diet when you're trying to lose weight, not less.
Oh God, please don't tell my mum that because she was just complaining about how much it costs.
That's well, she needs to read a little bit about it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah,
helpfully.
And you'll see gluten free written on skincare quite a lot. I've seen that before.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Which is nonsense.
Yes, it totally is. Like you said, it's like saying that sausages are free from arsenic and bees and thumbtacks and ancient literature. So I'd love my sausages to contain that.
Icing sugar, ancient literature, and all the things that they don't have in anyway.
Yeah.
But like, because people understand food ingredients more than they understand skincare ingredients.
Yeah,
we would. They wouldn't get away with that.
Also, kind of it really pisses me off that obviously, like, skincare should be a unisex thing, but obviously a lot of these beauty brands are marketed towards women. And then it kind of pisses me off that we get this level of patronizing. Especially for me, it's in the language, and you've even used it here in the blurb you sent me, is when people say free from nasties, and they use terminology like that as if they're talking to a class of year one
children.
I just hate it. Don't ever say nasties, please. It's so embarrassing. It makes me cringe.
Yeah. But it's like they, because they can't, it's like they can't say anything else. Nasties doesn't mean anything. They can't say toxins because the thing that they're talking about isn't toxic. So they just sort of put a stupid name on it to try and like blur the issue.
Yeah.
I reckon.
It's really dumb. So, so you've talked about Rovectin. So what did you have?
Yeah.
You like Rovectin as a brand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a essence of theirs, which has got loads of different hyaluronic acids and niacinamide, and it's lovely, and a moisturizer. So they don't have any fragrance in their skincare.
Okay.
And the packaging's quite plain. I like it. But, you know, in Europe, the free from claims are slightly more controlled than they are in Korea, which is where Rovectin is from. And on the YesStyle website, the list of free from claims on the Rovectin activating treatment lotion, it's free from oil, fine, alcohol, but it says free from oil as if there's something wrong with oil, which there isn't. Free from oil, alcohol, parabens, carcinogens, animal-derived ingredients, cruelty-free, artificial flavors, mineral oil, steroids, and artificial pigments. Steroids, you shouldn't, you're not allowed legally to have steroids in skincare anyway.
Yeah, that's a bit odd.
Flavors, why would you put flavors in skincare?
Do you think they meant fragrance?
Maybe they meant fragrance, but
they wrote flavors.
Yeah.
They wrote flavors.
They wrote flavors, okay. Delicious skincare.
Yeah. It's a shame.
So some of those I'm interested in. I don't want alcohol in my skincare.
Yeah.
Or fragrance. I'd like to know if they're not in there because that's quite handy to know. But they've just sort of written this huge long list to sort of make it look impressive. And some of the things they've written in the list aren't applicable to what they've made. So
yeah,
it's that kind of thing that sort of, it's just misleading.
And really big, one of the biggest skincare brands of recent years, isn't it? Drunk Elephant. That's pretty much their unique selling point, isn't it? So they've compiled the suspicious six. Ingredients, which are essential oils, drying alcohols, silicones, chemical sunscreens, fragrances, and SLS. So why is that a problem, do you think?
It's sort of making out that these things are really toxic, which is, you know, in certain amounts, and, you know, there's loads of different silicones, and they don't do any harm to you at all. You know, some people might be sensitive to them, or some people might find them comedogenic, but silicones are okay. They're safe. They've been found safe. So it's making Drunk Elephant sound superior to other brands.
But also,
by saying it's silicone-free.
Like you said, if a customer buys Drunk Elephant and takes a drunk break, TM, these suspicious six, then basically your skin will reset, and pretty much any problem, any skin issue will be completely knocked out, and your skin will be the best it's ever been, basically. So they can cure any skin issue.
So they've written that those six ingredients are the root of almost every skin issue, and that this is copied from their website.
Okay.
What is that? That is nonsense. There's no basis for that.
Yeah, it is.
It's lies.
It's total nonsense. Like you said, you bet they do good skincare, but they've kind of ruined it by treating their customers like they're silly. They probably do really nice products. I've heard really good things about their virgin marula oil, but it's super expensive. They sell it at Boots now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it, yeah. So how much is a product?
Oh, my, well, the marula oil was something like $76.
Yeah.
For 30 mil. And it's a...
Yeah, and I've seen that there's a YouTube video from Gothamister about it, isn't there? Have you watched that?
No.
And she kind of sells it. Like, she does make it sound very good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
so she's got really, the ordinary
yeah,
one.
It's supposed to be a really superior yeah. product compared to the ordinary one. The way it
yeah.
filtered or something. It is supposed to be amazing,
yeah.
but I just don't think any facial oil is worth $76. I don't know if it is that, but their stuff is really
no.
Even if you buy, they have the Littles, which is like obviously mini versions of their best-selling products. But even the Littles is like £80 for the collection of really teeny.
Yeah.
Wouldn't last you a holiday, basically, if you were going to.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a one-use sort of tiny little
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. They did. They gave me a glycolic serum with a Cult Beauty order, and it was like a 5 mil, literally a tiny thing from the Littles.
Yeah.
And it was really unpleasant. It was really, really sticky. A glycolic night serum. And I would have been really upset if I paid like proper dollar for it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So that's what they like to market themselves on, is they don't have the suspicious six in any of their.
Yes.
Any of their products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they sort of make out that you have to take this drunk break, which is removing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that then the consumer is going to be like, well, I need, oh, let's try this drunk break. They've made it sound like I can cure my skin problem with it. So how am I going to do this drunk break? Well, it's too hard for them to find silicone-free products and, you know, products with no fragrance. So they end up buying all of their stuff.
Yeah.
Because of this spiel, which is totally, I don't know, it's not based on any scientific research, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's lies.
Yeah.
I can't believe they get away with it. It's really naughty.
They kind of didn't for a bit. There was a huge, the big drama with Carolyn Hirons. And she didn't actually say anything particularly awful about them. She just said something about one of their products. Actually, I can't remember what it was. And their PR responded in the most passive-aggressive, least professional way. It was shocking how they reacted and basically said, well, she doesn't know shit. So, you know, who is she? We find that she frequently gets stuff wrong or whatever. I'm sure, people get stuff wrong. But anyway, and there was like a huge backlash, wasn't there, against Drunk Elephant? But clearly they don't care because, they're selling in Boots now, so.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
They've done all right out of it anyway.
They really have. They continue to do okay. Okay.
I've just written this little list of shady goings-on, which is not necessarily all about free from claims, but yeah, I was just sort of Googling and searching brands that have got into trouble, like serious trouble for their marketing techniques.
Okay.
And Sunday Riley popped up.
Oh, yeah.
With their fake review scandal.
Yeah, this was, I would say recently, it was 4 years ago now. Gosh.
Yeah. So for 2 years.
Oh, shit.
So between November 2015 and August 2017, Sunday Riley skincare managers, including Ms. Riley herself, posted reviews of their branded products on Sephora site using fake accounts to hide their identities, and requested that other Sunday Riley skincare employees do the same thing. The FTC, which is, I can't remember, the American
Fairness Trade Council or something to do with that,
something like
standards
that
type of thing.
Yeah. The FTC alleged that after Sephora removed fake reviews written by Sunday Riley employees, the company then obtained an express VPN account in an attempt to hide its online activity.
Oh, you didn't.
So they actually sort of veiled their identity on the internet and carried on doing it after they got in trouble for it.
That's really naughty.
Which is even naughtier than I realised it was.
Federal Trade Commission, by the way, that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's really
so they got in serious problems.
Is, though, yeah. Which is really bad. But they were probably thinking, well, bloody drunk elephant's doing it. And blah, blah, blah. Like, I am sure that with the exception of Deciem, because they were getting bazillions of amazing reviews, especially around, you know, between 2015 and 2017. Everybody, I think Sunday Rider just got caught and everyone else was like, shh. We've got to put some really good reviews up, which is I don't think, like, Sandy and Riley don't particularly make any stupidly spurious claims that were out there. They don't do, I don't think they really go for the free from nonsense though, do they?
No, I don't really. It's one of those brands that I'm just like, it's expensive, it's overpriced.
And they put dyes in it. They put just silly colours in it.
Yeah, that's the blue one, isn't
it? Yeah, the Luna, which was like absinthe. It was like smearing absinthe on my face. And I've got terrible memories of absinthe.
Oh my god, yeah.
I don't wish to live.
Yeah. So it just makes you into a sexy goth, as far as I'm concerned.
Does it? Oh, it makes me unconscious.
Yeah.
Sad and unconscious. Yes, not a good look. I got into a 40-minute drinking bender, absinthe bender, with Rob Seal in my mum's back garden, and I had to be put to bed by my own mother, aged 25, after I came back from Prague with the stuff. And I said to Rob the next day, like, how long are we drinking for? And he went, 40 minutes.
Oh, my God. And it felt like years.
Days.
For hours.
But yeah, so I don't go for Sunday Riley for the same reason. But yeah, I don't think they really go all in for the bullshit clean beauty. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't really pay them that much attention because I don't use their stuff.
No, same. Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So focus on free from claims. So you've got a list here that claims, if you're making any claims on your cosmetic products, they have to conform to the following criteria. So basically, I haven't seen this, but legal compliance. So no company should be boasting that they comply with regulations, because all brands have to comply.
Yes, that's it. Nobody should say we actually comply with the EU regulations. There should be no boasting about
that. Just a minimum standard. Truthfulness. No invented claims, e.g. 48-hour hydration, when the hydration is actually shorter than this. Can you use a product which gives you 48-hour hydration?
Anything? I don't see how, because it's gone. Like,
how can anything hydrate you?
Like, I'm sure I've seen 72-hour claims of something. I'm like, no, because I wash my face and then it's all over. Who's not washing their face for 3 days?
Well, people that want to believe these claims, I guess. Evidential support. So if you are making claims, you should have good scientific evidence behind them. So you've used the example here of coral bleaching. So there is no good evidence to suggest that certain sunscreens can
damage or do, the... or do not damage.
Yeah, I was thinking of what... avobenzone, I don't know, is one of those two ingredients that I think are actually banned in Hawaii, aren't they, and several seaside resorts in the States, because
so there is some evidence that in the right amounts these sunscreens would harm coral, but in real life situations where people are just wearing a bit of it and going in the sea, there is not it's not seen. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that people are focusing on the wrong thing. There's a lot of things damaging coral. Sunscreen isn't the main contender.
Okay. And then free from claims, or any claims, should be honest. So you shouldn't overblow scientific claims. There should be no manipulated before and after pics. I'm sure I still see a lot of manipulated before and after pics, though. Don't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know, I don't know how well this is, these, because these are the EU laws, and Britain also. Yeah, this is Europe, and Britain follows these laws. Even after Brexit, I checked. Before and after pictures. They totally are manipulated.
They really are.
I'm sure they are.
And fairness, so they shouldn't denigrate competitors. Again, I mm-hmm. think in the States, when I lived in the States, and this was 16 years ago, so things might have changed since, you used to be allowed to name your competitors in adverts, like, unlike this shit razor made by this shit company, we're really great. And I always found it really entertaining. I was like, you're not allowed to say that, Britain.
Yeah.
You can't name, like, the other company.
No.
Or, you know, provide statistics or whatever. But I'd maybe...
Yeah, you can't infer. Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
So informed decision-making should be clear and understandable with no science washing.
Yeah. And that's where I think DECIEM fails a little bit, because their blurbs are really confusing.
It is. Should be clear and understandable and no science washing. Yeah, they totally mess that one.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they don't do well there at all.
No, even I, as a science lady with, you know, some kind of science background, I find their jargon confusing.
I don't care. It works.
I do.
Work.
I know. I love it. I don't. I just enjoy the nonsense and the fun. Yeah.
So, oh yeah. So American advertisers, you said, are governed by truth in advertising laws. So when the Federal Trade Commission, so the FTC, finds a case of fraud.
So this is a quote from the FTC website, and I found it a lot more funny and dramatic than the European one.
Okay. Yeah, this is hilarious.
It was a bit more aggressive. Yeah.
Like, may as well be the FBI. So when the FTC finds a case of fraud perpetrated on consumers, the agency files actions in federal district court for immediate and permanent orders to stop scams, prevent fraudsters from perpetrating scams in the future, freeze their assets, and get compensation for victims. When consumers see or hear an advertisement, whether it's on the internet, radio, or TV, or anywhere else, federal law says that the ad must be truthful, not misleading, and when appropriate, backed by scientific evidence. Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yeah. So they're coming after you to get compensation.
I love that.
I know.
And I'm just going to go to the eco well, because... she's got passed out at the moment, and I thought it was really timely. She's so great. But she is doing a podcast with Dr. Ricardo Diaz, aka the prof. But this must be, and I'm just going to read you a quote that he says, and I think this is really interesting. Because true innovation is difficult, and it takes about a decade and a huge amount of financial investment. So, for example, the best shower gel today contains 6 technologies that were developed over years. So you can't constantly expect to have something new and improved every day. So we have 2 parts of our industry, and he's talking about sort of beauty and skincare. We have science that sells chemicals, only they can't say chemicals because chemicals is now bad. And then we have the alternative industry based on marketing ideas and trends rather than science. So when brands can't compete with science, they opt for alternative facts. And he's pointing the finger clearly at sort of clean beauty brands there, isn't he? And he is a professor of cosmetic science master's program at Rutgers University. I just thought that was really interesting. But to listen to more, have a listen to the Eco Wells podcast. She's so brilliant.
It's a really good podcast if you're really geeky about skincare and formulation and stuff.
And
it's good.
She's just so, like, sweet and lovely, clearly really knowledgeable, and she just gets attacked by the wellness brands quite a lot, and they were quite a—
does she?
Yeah, she does. They always come after and Lab Muffin does, because I guess if you do, you know, if you are coming after someone's beliefs, it's a bit like the vaccine versus—
it must be it's threatening.
Yes, yeah. Very threatening to certain people's livelihoods who made money off the fact that, you know, you need to say that your facial oils are whatever, paraben free.
I want to do a podcast about parabens, but I need to do my research first.
Yeah.
But parabens are not the evil
they're not evil
demon. They're not the evil demon that everyone seems to believe that they are, because, you know, preservatives quite often are irritating and allergenic. I don't know why they've got such a bad press. You know, people have really gripped on to— I think they found some parabens in some, like, stored in the tissues of a cadaver.
Yeah.
And so that means that they're really, really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I need to do more research on it. But
okay.
They're generally found to be very safe chemicals.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of these products say free from parabens.
Yeah.
So many of them.
Yeah. It's really strange, isn't it? Like you said, though, obviously some things you would find helpful. So, for example, like fragrance and perfumes, you want to know at a glance that what you're using. Also, a lot of people aren't good at reading labels. So I haven't been on the Facebook Skincare with Friends account for ages because I got locked out of it. But you get a lot of questions on that about label reading. And wanted to know, like, basically, if I have...
Is this okay?
Yeah. It's okay. So for certain people, I find that really then it makes me feel sorry for those people, because I think if you're being led to believe that if you just cut out, for example, a suspicious 6 ingredients, you'll be good to go and don't worry about reading the label because none of that shit's important.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's where Drunk Elephant has them over a barrel, isn't it? Because the label is really hard to read.
And don't worry that it costs £1 million. Your skin will be great.
Yeah. You'll have to trust us.
Yeah. It's a hard one.
Yeah.
Where do we go from there, though? Because, like, you know, people who, like, friends of mine will still say to me, oh, you know, what can you recommend that's, like, they won't say clean anymore because they know that I would, you know, drive around the house and throw eggs at it, but... You know, like free from, or doesn't have like nasty chemicals in it, or this and that. And I just think,
I don't want chemicals in my. I'm trying to find chemical skincare or natural skincare.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, because you can't. It's all a myth. Natural chemicals can be as toxic as anything else, and parabens are found in nature.
Yeah,
they are natural chemicals.
Yeah. What food are they in?
As is hydroquinone. I can't remember, but they are something that plants produce naturally, as is hydroquinone, which is, you know, apparently very poisonous and toxic.
It's my best friend.
Yeah, we love that stuff. The public is being confused, and their confusion and fear is a way of selling products.
Okay, so if you are listening to the podcast and you go, okay, so who do I trust then? Apart from me and you, who would you point listeners to if they're confused about what's in their skincare? Who would be the best people to listen to and learn from, do you think?
Well, don't trust the people trying to sell you things for a start. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's everyone's motivation for doing anything, isn't it? Money. We're not trying to sell anything.
We're not.
So you can trust us. Try the INSEE Decoder. That's a good website.
Yes. I like love that. It.
Yeah. And there's CosDNA, which breaks down ingredients, and Skin Charisma.
Does that do the same thing?
Yeah, it's got a nicer user profile.
Does it?
I haven't used it. So it's easier to follow what's bad and good about the ingredients, Skin Charisma, than CosDNA just sort of breaks things down. It's like comedogenic, irritating. It's quite basic.
Okay.
Skin Charisma is easier to use. You know, they're not selling anything, but you know, they make their money from advertising on their website, which is okay.
But I think that so what Nia's just basically described are 3 sites that you can basically just tap the name of your product into, and it will break down the inky list or the ingredients list pretty much into, you know, good, bad and neutral pretty much, doesn't it? It breaks down what they are, what they do, and, you know, whether they're, have the potential to be either comedogenic, so pore blocking, or irritating in some other way. And it's a really good way to navigate your skincare products, I think, isn't it? You know, I was obsessive about the inky decoder. I would just put everything in there. I love it.
And after a while of looking for stuff, you kind of start remembering what the ingredients are and you get a feel for it.
And also what's really good, and I don't know if Skin Charisma and CosDNA have it, but they have the comparison, so you can compare it with like-for-like products, and it will break down Right. So Inky Decoder will do that. So you can press compare, copy and paste another product into there, and it will just do breakdown of the Inky
Text
to each other. So you can see in descending order, obviously, this one actually has more of that active ingredient or whatever. That's also really
good.
Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, I would trust those. I would also trust the EcoWell. she's
EcoWell podcast is really good. Listen to her,
and on Instagram, and Lab Muffin as well, her blog,
Lab Muffin. And another blog that I like is Kind of Steven.
Oh yeah, you quoted him.
Yeah, he's a cosmetic scientist. Yeah, so Kind of Steven's got a good blog post about it, and he had the example of apparently KFC claimed that their chicken was hormone free, which sort of made out that other people are using hormones to make bigger chickens, which they're not.
Maybe they are. They just haven't been caught near. How do you know?
Maybe. But, you know, they have no basis for accusing anyone of hormone use. They just decided to write, this is hormone free on their product. And they got into trouble for it and told not to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Stephen. Okay, so he has a blog.
Yeah, so he has a blog, and like I've sort of grabbed a quote from his blog post, which is quite useful. So the things that he says are bad about free from claims. So some of the free from claims are irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So we'll see facial oil say free from sodium lauryl sulfate, SLS, when you wouldn't have SLS in your facial oil anyway.
Okay.
It's never in there. So there's, you know, claiming that your product is free from it is not a boast.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, of course it is. So broad. So claims like free from fragrance are too broad because they'll have no synthetic fragrance, but they may well be essential oils in there, which are just as irritating as synthetic fragrance.
So free from fragrance, I would take that to mean free from all fragrance, though, but it's not.
I know, yeah. No, if they've got like rose oil or something that like that.
No way.
That, yeah.
Okay.
So you have to have you still have to have a little look at the ingredients list, really.
Okay.
Inaccurate. So inaccurate claims could be something like free from formaldehyde, when actually the product contains something that releases formaldehyde.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. There's certain formaldehyde releasing preservatives.
Right.
So that's not accurate. Undefined. So cruelty free. This is a somewhat upsetting fact. Cruelty-free is not a defined term. Some brands take it to mean they haven't tested the product on animals. Some might mean the finished product wasn't tested, but the ingredients were, or that somebody else tested the final product or the ingredients. Mm-hmm. So it's not a standard that the brand can define it as they wish.
Okay.
And use it. Yeah. So some organizations have created logos and definitions that brands use, but customer must verify the standards used and its claims.
Yeah, so if it's like Leaping Bunny certified, I usually take that to mean that every aspect, every chain in that process of production to, you know, distribution and everything in between has been checked and is certified. Okay.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's not a lot of my products though. And I mean,
there's not that many Leaping Bunny certified products.
No, and also I'm using a lot of snail mucin products and bee propolis, which is from bee pollen, I think, isn't it? And
that's it.
My face loves it. My face loves the snail mucin. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of animal derived products from Korea.
Yeah, but god damn it, they work.
How do they get the snail slime off the snails?
I think they get them to do races on panes of glass. Oh. That's what they
do. And then rinse it off.
Yeah. I don't know how. I don't know how it works. But tell you what, Mizon snail SPF is lovely. It's really nice. And the eye cream. and eye patches, yeah. Using all of it.
It's all nice. It's all really, is it fragrance free or is it unscented or whatever?
I detect a really tiny, and I'm sure I read there is a teeny bit of fragrance. It's almost imperceptible though.
Okay.
But you might not like it. And yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it is fragrance free. It is white as anything going on. It will really freak you out first going on.
Oh wow.
But it settles in really well, and it's so hydrating as well. It's lovely.
Cool. What's it called again?
Maison Snail Sun.
The Maison Snail Sun thing.
It's got a picture of a snail with a pair of shades on. It doesn't, but it should have.
Cool.
Yeah, I've got the snail repair eye cream. That was really nice.
Mm.
I don't know. I'll find it. It's on my Insta anyway. I reviewed it really recently. But yeah, it's lovely. So just be careful of those things. Know who to trust and listen to. That's the big one. And you've made a really good point.
Yeah.
Don't trust the people who are trying to sell you stuff. And the biggest thing with Free From is that we're not interested to a certain extent what's not in it, apart from the things that you know are going to irritate your face. You want to know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But if the list of things that it's free from are long and lustrous, that usually makes me really suspicious. Because
yes.
I'm not that interested in that. I want to know what's in it and what it does.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, because brands are limited in what they can say something does, because they have no scientific evidence to back up their claims, then, you know, their scope for promoting things gets narrower then.
Yeah.
All brands would want to say that their product is good for all sorts of things and is free from anything toxic. So, you know, they're being limited in what they can say. So I'd always be suspicious of a sales pitch from anyone. And just do your own research, blah, blah, blah.
So what? Do your own research is usually the thing that anti-vaxxers scream at you.
Yes, I know, yeah. Yeah. That's why I went blah, blah, blah. The end of it.
Educate yourself, Mia.
Yeah. It's just shady tactics. And, you know, just you've got to read the ingredients list yourself.
Yes.
And kind of figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
Take everything with a pinch of salt. Yeah.
Shit, I lied. It's not Maison. It was Jigot. Sorry. I totally lied about my sunblock.
Jigot.
My sunblock was Jigot Snail UV SPF 50 PA++.
Oh, okay. I've used that before. Really cheap.
Oh, £8, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheapy, cheapy, cheap, cheap. And also really nice. Are you nervous now about Korean sunscreens?
No.
After the Centella debacle?
No, I'm not. Because now I think, if anything, they're just going to be more on it than they ever were before. So it was Purito. Yeah. Purito got into huge issues.
Centella Green Level, which is my favourite sunscreen.
It was a lovely sunscreen. And it was found in independent lab tests to be something like, well, it really ranged, didn't it? One of them was tested at SPF 19 and it was sold as a SPF 50 plus, and another one, I think, like 29 or something like that. So obviously way, way inferior to what was advertised. But it was actually an issue with the Korean FDA who was doing the testing,
really?
Rather than just Purito itself. So there was, at one point, it looked like pretty much everything that had been tested by the KFDA, which is the Korean's version of the Food and Drug Administration, was going to be dodged. I'm not sure whether that actually panned out or whether it was just Purito, but Purito dealt with it really well. It was a PR disaster, and they just held their hands up and said, like, I don't think that there was no ill intent. I don't think they decided to try and rip people off and sell them shitty sunscreen, because, you know, clearly you get into so much trouble for that. So I'm not put off by it. I think, if anything, their checks are going to be more stringent. And actually, they've found now with a couple of American sunscreens, they've had the same issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
I, you know, it could be a batch thing. I don't know. But they, you know, Purito they're such a good brand. I really like their stuff and it would never put me off buying.
Yeah. What about you? I still use the Purito Green Level, but I don't trust it on a sunny day.
Really?
Yeah. I use something else with it.
You're making me paranoid now because I was just saying, I've been putting sunscreen on every other hour. Why is my face getting brown? You're like,
why is my face brown? Because it's something that doesn't work. Bloody hell.
And the Apia Pure Sun Sun Gel.
Apia.
Don't use it. It's really smelly and it stings and sweats to your eyes. You can't access. There's no way you could go for a run wearing it. You go blind. which is a shame.
Yeah. Do you have the Ultrawisk face fluid?
I don't, but I have used it before and it still stings my eyes.
Yeah, stings your eyes, yeah. Yeah, because I had a comment on my review of Ultrawisk face fluid saying I couldn't use it because my eyes were burning and I was in pain.
Yeah, and that was
specifically the face fluid. But I use it and it's fine.
Was that specifically the face fluid? Right.
Apparently.
The one that didn't do that was the tinted mineral one, but it was so orange.
Okay.
I love their stuff. It sweats into my eyes. I can't pin down the exact ingredient, but it's quite a common complaint.
No. Yeah. Because they use, there's a raft of chemical sunscreens in it, which sounds bad, like a bad thing, but they are literally filtering out every single section of the UVA and UVB spectrum.
Wow.
To an impressive degree. Yeah.
All for £4.
If you go through, you go through the ingredients, you go and you look at what their range of protection is for, because every single sunscreen ingredient has a different range of protection in the spectrum. And theirs covers all the bases.
Wow.
Like the more filters you've got, the filters support each other and, you know, keep the other filters working. So they're like, the more that you've got, the better each one works.
Amazing. All for £4. It's just so cheap. Say, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah. What's his name? Andrew Burney.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dermatologist that makes Ultrawisk. Yeah, it's an impressive brand.
And they are altruistic.
They are really...
A good portion of their sales go towards helping people with albinism as well. I will use it everywhere else, but I just can't use it on the top half of my face. But you've got real eyebrows and I don't, you see. And I think if you...
No, I've got very bushy eyebrows. Yeah.
And I think that really helps.
I'm sure it does. You know, it's only if it's pissing down with rain and I'm running, wearing it, that I'm finding myself blinking and squinting.
Yeah. But now you've said that and explained how all those filters work in perfect harmony with each other, I have even more respect for it now. So I will always be using Ultrawisk. And the whole point is, you know, he said, you know, it's crazy. I saw a Charlotte Tilbury SPF advertised. Have you seen it? And it wasn't like stupid expensive, but it was still like £39. It's still, you're never going to use that for your 2-hourly top up, are you? Let's face it. And so you need to make something at a price point where you're not going to feel like you're wasting money when you're going through a tube every 2 weeks, like you probably should be doing in British
television. Yeah.
So yeah, he's a great guy. But yeah, I still can't use it.
No. But yeah, you know, you can use it on certain bits of your body and face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fine. Cheekbones and down, not a problem. I'm still using the IT Cosmetics CC cream, which is Lush. It's really nice.
Oh, it's amazing. I need to get that again.
I didn't realise how kind of full coverage it was, though. It's pretty...
It is proper. It's a proper foundation, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of... So when it was my birthday on the Debenhams closing down sale, I went crazy town and I bought Yves Saint Laurent Touche Clair in like 3 different shades, and I bought Yves Saint Laurent foundation, and then obviously because I bought it all online, everything was just the wrong color. So I have to mix it with the IT Cosmetics sunscreen after I put my sunscreen on. So yeah, I've got quite a full face.
That's the thing in it, buying things online, you end up with such random colors. And even if you go into the shop, like I went to Boots and I bought Elf Cosmetics camo cream, which is SPF 30, and it is amazing.
Is that a foundation or it's a CC cream,
I suppose.
Oh, right, okay.
But it is a foundation. It is full coverage, really, really full coverage. And it looks great. It's great finish. It's not matte. It's not glowy. It's sort of in between. Lovely. But I've got the wrong colour.
Oh, shit.
Because you can't test it. You can't. You can see it in the bottle, but
yeah,
it looks fine in the bottle, but... Max is like, yeah, it looks white.
Oh, you look that's white. What I look like with my Yves Saint Laurent one. And it's so, no, it's Lancôme, actually. It's a Lancôme foundation. Yeah. It's so lovely. Mm. But yeah, I look a ghost.
I guess those, you can get those little drops, can't you? Like pigment drops to darken or lighten things.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If they're worth trying. Yeah.
That's a really good idea. I'll do that.
Yeah.
I've got to let my face breathe, though, because it's so burnt because of the tretinoin. Oh,
bloody hell.
It's my nephew's 18th birthday tomorrow, and I can't look like Jeremy Beadle when I go for dinner. I'm gonna have to wear a mask.
Yeah, just like, Natalie's very enigmatic this evening.
I can't believe he's 18. Ugh, makes me feel so old.
I know. Yeah.
Horrid.
Always feel old. Yeah.
I do feel old lately. I don't know why. I feel lined and wrinkled. I just feel, yeah. It's because I'm tired. I'm like,
yeah.
Come out of the arse end of like a shitty quarter at work. Just the hardest.
Yeah.
Horriblest time at work.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel wrinkled.
Taking its toll. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with the tretinoin drying your skin out as well, that's probably not going to help, is it?
No, I've got plenty of amino acids and B5, and I'm doing my I'm gonna do like 3 of 7 skins.
Yeah,
I got lots of lovely hydrating products I've got from Yes Style. So I'm just gonna go and do them.
Yeah, I got a red and near infrared light.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I bought the most industrial thing ever.
Can you show me?
It's cool. Yeah. Okay. So it's like a brick with light bulbs in it. Because I've got Achilles tendonitis from running too much.
No, knee.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't run at the moment because I'm in too much pain. And so I bought this light to try and cure my ankle pain. And I was like, because I read that near infrared light's good for healing, like back pain and stuff. So I'd read somewhere and, you know, somebody'd written an article about dealing with Achilles tendonitis. And I was like, oh, cool. Because then I can also shine it on my face. Sweet. And this thing is so bright. Like, if I shine it on my face, I close my eyes, and I know I should get those little goggles. And it came with the goggles, but I can't be bothered to find where they are. And if you shine it at your face for 10 minutes and then you put it down, everything's green.
Cool.
Like your eyes have adjusted to the intensity of the red light, and then they kind of need like 5 minutes to reset themselves.
What?
It's nuts. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
So you've been using it on your face?
I have, yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to. And I know it's one of those things that's probably just going to end up in a drawer or a cupboard somewhere because I can't be asked to put it on my face. But I'm determined to give it a whirl. Because the scientific evidence for red light is pretty good. So,
oh, wicked. The product I tagged Nia in a product on Instagram for these LED face masks, which looked really good because at least they give you a true.
I don't know.
But the mask to me looks too far away from the face.
It's quite fun. It's like a plastic shield.
Yeah.
Like a bit like a visor that you wear when going into a shop and you don't want to wear a mask. It didn't look bright enough to me.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, like this lamp I've got has got like a really heavy duty electrical cable going into it.
Yeah.
To get all the power to the lights to go into my cells. Yeah. That thing had like a button on like a flimsy little plastic thingy.
You just,
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it looks a bit Daft Punk. It looks like fun.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks like fun, but I don't know if it's got enough power behind the thing.
The cheapness of it made me
buy
it. Do you know what I mean? It was around £100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this lamp was 170 something quid.
Mm-hmm.
So not that expensive in terms of other lights, but you know, it's not like
Is it working on your tendon pain?
Well, I thought it was, and then I tried to go for a run and I felt very foolish because I was in a very high amount of pain. I had to stop.
Oh, Nia.
Yeah.
After yourself. When did you do this?
Well, to be honest, it's been hurting for months and just been gradually getting worse until the point where I'm like, actually, this run is no longer pleasant and I need to stop. So I have to stop. But I've got a physio appointment tomorrow morning to get a professional's take on it.
Oh, I hope
apparently resting isn't very good. You know, stopping running completely isn't good for a tendon either. So, I need to know what specifically to do. So,
I wish I ran enough to necessitate being told that I have to take it easy, but I don't. I wish I had a red LED lamp right now. And
yeah, that's the thing. The red LED will help things like that, definitely. You know, stuff like post-chemical peel, redness, soreness. If you've got a spot, it'll help it heal, that kind of stuff.
I just realised I'm going for a procedure.
What are you having done?
An orchard facial procedures. I can't remember.
Your khaki done again?
No, I'm not having the khaki facial, but although I really do recommend it. I'm having microneedling.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Whoa.
How about that?
For any specific purpose?
I'm actually more having it on the like lower jaw area.
For collagen induction then.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Have you had it?
I have. Yeah. I had one treatment though, because somebody I know needed a model for an open evening.
Oh right. I'm having a course.
Yeah.
Okay. A whole course.
Yeah. Don't just one doesn't do anything at all. Yeah, having a few, sure.
So I'll be taking lots of pictures of befores and afters for that.
Yeah, cool.
And that's it. But I don't know. I can't remember what it is. Oh, I'm having also. What's the treatment they do on your feet, which identifies?
Oh, reflexology.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, thanks. Having that next week.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. I'm just treating myself all the time.
Good
every
for you.
Thursday, every day.
Every Thursday is self care day. That's good.
Yeah. Just rinse my bank account and you know feel really good. Just love it.
Good for you.
You go for a run and I just act like I'm some Beverly Hills billionaire. <boy. laughs>
Why not? Yeah.
The kids' college funds is in my face.
So I think we've done free from claims, haven't we?
Yeah, sorry, we did that about half an hour.
Yeah, we've put it through its paces. Yeah, it's just all nonsense, clean beauty nonsense. And I think, you know, hopefully it's, you know, a fashion trend that's coming to an end now and consumers are starting to open their eyes to how it's not real, I hope.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to us, guys. What should we talk about next? Should we talk about parabens next?
Yeah, we can. Sure.
I'd love to.
Unless we want to talk about something more frivolous, more jolly.
Oh, I like that frivolous stuff. Yeah.
Right.
I like it when listeners
I love it when people tell us what to do. We've also had the recommendation of baby skincare, children's skincare.
Oh, I know. Skincare. Okay.
Well, who cares? They already look great, don't they? I mean, you know, screw them, basically. Yeah. They've already got all the collagen.
I know. They're beautiful cheeks. I just think, oh, you've got no idea.
Yeah.
You guys.
They've got hyaluronic acid and collagen for days. I guess, you know, if we're thinking about, like, trying to keep them safe from chemicals, maybe we'll do children's skincare one day, but I don't feel like it.
No, I don't feel like it.
Oh. I quite fancy doing, like, over-exfoliation.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what a really do. Good one. Yeah, that's a really good one because people keep
let's doing, do that.
Yeah, let's do over-exfoliation. People
are always over-exfoliating.
And can we just talk about, we'll talk about glycolic acid as well.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm excited now.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, guys. We love you. Speak to you soon.
Come and listen to us again next week on Skincare with Friends.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.